You know. Find it in a minute. There you go. Bed. Come on, run around there. That's about the place. You know. Awesome this morning. Yep. And I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to say. Awesome. For a half-planned service. Awesome. Some of it was planned. Some of it just happened. And God was in it. Amen. You know, I've had a lot of time over the last few weeks. And when you can't get out, you know, it seems like that God doesn't have to chase you down. And so he's always around telling you something, imparting things to you, and giving you a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Not a whole lot of any of it. And then last week, Sister Shirley said, "Do you want to preach Sunday?" And I heard this little voice say, "Of course you do." Okay. Do you remember what I told you? Well, I remember what you were telling me. You didn't finish. I'm finishing right now. You did not need to know till now. He said, "You do know it's Easter. How is that sermon that you've been talking to me about, what does it have to do with Easter?" So he showed me. And also, I told him I wasn't going to preach very long. It's up to him. I'm putting the blame on him this morning. Very long ago. I could say this different ways, but I'm going to say it like this. The message this morning is the measure of a person. The measure of a person. Now, I could say the measure of a man. But that might be sexist. Leave all you women out. The measure of a person. The measure of a creature, a being that God created. The measure of that person. And God gave me a sentence, and that's all he gave me for a long time. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you got them, to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to give you a couple of examples that fit into this thing of the measure of a person. In Mark chapter 10, begin with verse 7. Verse 17. "Now as he was going on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother? And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Now, you know, when Jesus looks at you, he loves you. And you need to understand that. You don't go by your feelings. You got to make sure that you read the article I put in the bulletin this morning. But not right now. You need to hear what I'm getting ready to say. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. A lot to ask, right? Might have been a lot to ask, but that's what Jesus asked him. That's what Jesus told him. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? Now, you know what a lot of us would probably have done? We'd heard Jesus saying that. We'd have said, Yeah, I knew them rich people was going to get it coming to them. Hey, I knew that their riches would fail someday. They wouldn't get all that stuff they've got, all the things they've achieved, all of that. I knew that it wouldn't make any difference. But they said, Who then can be saved? You know what that says to me? Some of them had some stuff. But Jesus looked at them and said, With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, See, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one that has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. For my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. The measure of a man or the measure of a person. This is how you determine the measure of a person. Take away everything they have and leave them with nothing, and you will find out what that person is. Some people, the measure of their life is what they have. They may be Bill Gates with billions of dollars. They may be a Hollywood star with fame and fortune and money coming out of his ears. They may be somebody that's achieved something and become famous for it. And that's the thing that makes them. That's the thing that makes them what they are. And if they lose that, then they've lost themselves. Did you know your wealth can be taken away from you? It can be taken from you, or you can be asked to give it up. The rich young ruler was. What was the measure of the rich young ruler? What would they say about him? He loved his money more than he loved the opportunity of serving Jesus. What about someone that's accomplished in their ability to think? Their IQ is 175, 190. Some awesome, off the charts almost thing. They come up with all kinds of things. One day they get hit in the head. And something happens. And they don't get it back. Is that person destroyed? It all depends. The rich young ruler is an example of somebody that chose something more than the most important thing. He chose to keep what he had rather than to give up what he had in order to have what he wanted. You know what he wanted? He wanted eternal life. He wanted to know he was right with God. He wanted to know that his future was secure. That's why he came. And isn't it interesting that Jesus gave him the five commandments that had a relationship with one another and not God? And he said, I've done all these things. You know, you can go through life and not steal. I mean, it's a choice. You just don't steal. You don't have to commit adultery. Just say no. You don't have to kill somebody. Just don't kill them. Don't covet what somebody else has got. You let them have theirs. You keep what you got. Go on and be happy with what God's given you. Thank you, son. Honor your father and mother. Not just a hard thing to do. Those five are the easy ones. Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength gets kind of up there a little high. You got to work at that one. But see, we're not under the law anymore. Jesus was the end of the law for righteousness. And so we look at this story of the rich young ruler, and he doesn't come out in it too well. Doesn't meet the challenge very well. But let me tell you another story. Now you need to listen really close to this one. There was a man born as a child, born as a baby. And while he was 2 years old and under, he was given gold and frankincense and myrrh. Hey, this boy's not 2 years old. He's already rich. And he went on and he grew up. He grew in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew up. And when he was about 30 years old, he went down to the Jordan River, and there was a man down there that looked at him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." They didn't know what he was talking about. And then Jesus was baptized. Oh, I let that other bag I'm talking about. I figure if you haven't learned by now, you haven't been in church, or if you've been in church, you've been sleeping. You don't know who I'm talking about by then. And so he's baptized. "This is my beloved son," a voice said from heaven when the dove came and lighted upon him. "This is my beloved son. Hear him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And he started teaching the people. And he had such a gift. Such an awesome gift. The people would listen to him and they would say, "Where does he get this stuff? He teaches with somebody that he teaches like somebody that's got authority and not as the Pharisees and the Sadducees." The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the temple people that were teaching, they always said what so-and-so said. Rabbi so-and-so said this. Rabbi so-and-so said this. Now the other rabbi from over in the other city, he said this. And they talked about what everybody else was saying. But he said, he speaks as one who has authority. He's saying, I'm telling you this because Rabbi so-and-so, you remember he taught it. Jesus, and I'm not putting this chronologically or in any specific order, I'm just throwing it out to you. Jesus said, "I speak to you what I hear my Father say. I don't tell you anything except what he tells me to tell you. You're getting what I'm telling you straight from the horse's mouth. You're getting it from the source. That's why it's different than what you hear when you hear somebody else talk about it. They talk about what they're thinking about. I talk about what I know. I know this." And you know the Pharisees and the Sadducees at one point said, "We got to do something to stop him. We've got to stop this person. Don't you realize the whole city has turned out. The whole city is following him. We've got to do something." And it says, and they sought to kill him, but they were afraid of the people because they knew that if they killed him, they'd be in trouble with the people. He already proved that when he put them on the spot when he said, "Let me ask you, you asked me this question, what authority did I do this by? Let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it of God or was it of man?" And they said, "If we say it's of God," he'll say, "then why didn't you pay attention to him? But if we say it was a man," you realize how many people there are that believe in John? "We'll turn half the town against us if we say that John wasn't talking about God's things, but man's stuff." "Well, we don't know." Jesus said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you what authority I use either." Blind eyes were open. Crippled legs were mended. Dead was raised. All of these things. And then a week ago, "Hail the King of the Jews," riding on a colt, riding on a donkey, the foal of an ass. You know why that was so significant? Because the kings of Israel rode white donkeys. And so here he comes into Jerusalem, riding on that colt. They're proclaiming him king. But you know, Jesus wasn't excited about all of that. He had his mind on something else. And as the week went on, things went from good to not so good to, oh boy, to this is not looking good. to, we're in real trouble, Jesus. Don't you understand that? You are in real trouble, Jesus. They're coming to get you tonight. Jesus said, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And they came. And he was betrayed by one of his own. And he was arrested. And he was beaten. And there was a crown of thorns put on his head. And they beat him with rods, reeds, whichever you want to use. Prophesy, who was it hit you? Tell us. King of the Jews, that who you really are? You don't look like a king. Do something to show us you're a king. Do something to show us that you're the king of Israel. That you're the king of the Jews. Oh, where's your gold, frankincense, and myrrh now? Where's all the people that you had following you, those thousands upon thousands in one setting, and you have, where are they now? Little did they know that even his most loyal had already denied him three times. And the rest of them had run off and hid. All except, the scripture says, except John. And John didn't even mention his own name when he wrote about it. But it's John. He's the only one. And later on down the road, they sure had a problem of getting rid of John. They finally had to just exile him to the Isle of Patmos to keep him out of the way because they tried to kill him and they couldn't. Now, whether his supporting Jesus and staying with Jesus had anything to do with it or not, it doesn't tell us. But I kind of think, just using human logic, that he had something that made him pretty hard to deal with when it came to worldly things. When you really hooked in with Jesus, to be that way. It'd be hard for the world to get a hook in you if you're really, really close to Jesus. And don't go by your feelings. The devil will make you feel like you're 700 miles from Jesus when he's just sitting right next to you. Go by what this book says. Don't go by how you feel. Your feelings can be overcome by this book, but your feelings will never overcome this book. You know the story. When they got finished mocking him and doing everything they could to him, they led him out to the place called the place of the skull to be crucified. Now, when they got out there on the hill and they got ready to put him on the cross, and they drove the nails through his hands and through his feet. That wasn't always done, by the way. Sometimes they only tied their hands to the cross and tied their feet to the cross and didn't drive with a nail. That was saved for special occasions. The worse the person, the harder the treatment. So what they were signifying is, this man is about as low as you can get. There is not much worth in him. His gold and silver and frankincense, it's gone. Where's the people that followed him? They're gone. It said, and then they divided his clothing amongst them. And for his garments they cast the lots. They took his clothes. Now you talk about bearing our shame. The pretty little pictures, if you see, of Jesus on the cross, or, well, not pretty little pictures, I won't say that. But regardless, when you see the pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross, he's got the little privacy cloth around his waist. Part of him is covered. That's simply for lost the word. Decency's sake. He had nothing on. When they were hung on that cross, they had nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. He hung on that cross with nothing. He had nothing that a human man has. He had nothing with him that was worth anything. He had nothing about him. There was no goal. There was no position. They put over his cross the King of the Jews. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And it even says in the scripture that some of them came to him and said, don't say he's the King of the Jews. Say that he says he's the King of the Jews. And the soldier said, what I have, or Pilate, what I'll put stays. I'm not changing it to he said he was the King of the Jews. It's going to stay on there. This man is the King of the Jews. But what did he have to show for it? The measure of a man. What did he have? Well, as the people that looked at him that were standing around the cross, we had one person that wasn't involved in being his followers that, hey, the light came on right at the beginning, right at the end. The light came on. Surely, this man was the Son of God. That's what the centurion said that was standing by the cross. Surely, this man is the Son of God. The man was right. Surely, Son of God, the Messiah. This man is the Savior of the world. It was not what he had. It was what he was that counted. He was put in the grave. And he overcame death in the grave. He is risen. He overcame it. Not because of what he had, but because of who he was. We're not going to make it through this world and stand before God one of these days in eternity because of what we have. We are going to stand before him because of what we are. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. Talking about the followers. They started out being called people of the way. And then in Antioch, they started calling them Christians. You know what a Christian is? A Christian is a little Christ. You know why you're a little Christ? Because the big Christ lives in you. It's what you have. It's what we are. I am a child of God. I am a redeemed believer. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Let me read you this in conclusion. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I and my Father are one. Jesus confessed it. He and his and the Father are one. I'm equal to God. Of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Just coming to this earth as a man was a real step down for Jesus. Most of us consider that's enough of a sacrifice to be made. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Like I said earlier, that's about as low as you can go. In his culture, dying on a cross meant you were the scum of the earth. You didn't deserve guilt. Obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, we've sung about that this morning. I couldn't have sat down and picked out songs that would go with the sermon any better than what we did this morning. Has given him the name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's not what the audience saw that day he was hanging on the cross. But that's what was there. And it was for you. And it was for me. It was for us who believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look what God did for him. Now let me ask you this. Be careful how you answer. Now, what's God done for you? Everything that he did for Jesus. Seated in heavenly places with him. With him. Overcomers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And word of their testimony wasn't just saying what they felt like saying. Because sometimes you're walking in victory and you don't feel very good about it. And you want to say the stuff that you feel. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody tells you, you got pain? Well, if I've got enough of a pain and there's some way we can deal with the pain, I'm going to confess that I've got the pain, but I'm not keeping it. No, I'm not hurting. But I've got victory. And we were singing some of those songs this morning. And I thought about it the times that the enemy has tried to kill me in the last 10 years. And at times when even the doctors have agreed with him that the job was it was as good as done. And I know that one day I'm going to lay down and I'm not going to get up. But it's not now. And it's not today. One day, but not now. That's how we defeat the enemy. He tells you about stuff and that you know it's inevitable. You know, it's appointed out unto a man once to die. Statistics show us that 10 out of 10 people die. But when is another story. Is appointed. And God didn't shortchange you in the days. God didn't appoint some to be only 6 months old. The worth of a man is determined by what you are, not by what you have. You can strip everything away from you that you have. And then all you're left with is what you are. And in some cases, it's really good. In some cases, it's sad. Because they've been trusting in something else. Just like the rich young ruler. And he went away sad because he had great possession. You never have to walk away from Jesus sad. You can choose to, but you don't have to. He's on your side. He's on your side. On this Easter day, remember what he did. When he hung on that cross, he accomplished for you what he accomplished for you because of what he was, not because of what he had. It was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. It was the King of Kings that's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. All of those things for you. All of those things you can have. All of those things that you are. Whatever you face in this life, whether it's good or whether it's not, that's not the measure of what you are. That's not the measure of who you are. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all, A-L-L, all. That's what you did. That's what you're going to do, or that's what you're doing, and that's what you're going to do. That's your sins, all your sins. But don't go out here and just sin all the blood. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Keep that in mind. We're going to close out the service by having communion. And we're going to serve you in your seats. Some might have difficulty getting up here. But if the ones will come on and join me up here for the Sister Shirley. Just want you to join us up here. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now we ask that you hold the elements when you receive them until everybody has had a chance to get them, and then we'll all partake of them together. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you're going to touch the hearts of the ones, even as they hold these elements, that they're going to ponder on what they are, and they're going to thank you from their hearts for what you did. And we thank you, Lord God, for being with each one in this sacred time of remembrance. Even as we remember the resurrection of our Lord today, we remember what that resurrection leads to, and that's eternal life for all of us. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to him and said, "This is my body that was broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that I'm giving for you to bring you eternal life. As often as you take this, you're going to remembrance of me." Let's all stand together. Kenji, will you sing the chorus of that song? Lord, may your grace and peace rest upon us and live within us as we go out into the world as missionaries, as lights, as salt, as witnesses to the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.